Hallelujah. This period, what we try to do every day as we come in the empowerment hour, the greatest empowerment any believer will have is to be empowered with knowledge.
Amen and amen.
That's why we'll be dropping these nuggets. One minister after the other will be coming here with a thought that will help us know how to walk with God and walk with Him acceptably too. And walk with Him and position ourselves to receive from Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh yes. And so what we come here is just to remind ourselves. There's nothing we say that is new. Nothing. This Bible has been existing for how many years now? Sermons upon sermons upon sermons upon sermons. Oh, preach. Some few years back, my sister-in-law asked me, said, "Daddy, is there any time you will come that you won't know what to preach?" He said, "Because you've been preaching for how many years? And sometimes you can't, don't even repeat your sermons." Amen.
Amen.
I said, "This Bible, amen, is God talking to us."
That's right.
And one sentence can mean so many things. You see one angle today, tomorrow you see it another angle. And sometimes too, we need to be reminded.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not that we don't know it, but we need to be reminded. Hallelujah. Just like Apostle Paul, we say in 1 Thessalonians, is it 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2? I think that is either 1 or 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yes, this is the but of the times, you see.
And of the seasons.
And the seasons.
Brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you.
That is, don't teach them tire, but he still reminded them in verse 2.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Uh-huh.
For when they shall say peace and safety.
Again, verse 2 again.
For yourselves know.
So
perfectly.
They already know.
That's right.
That's my emphasis. They already know.
Amen.
But he was reminding them.
Amen.
Amen. And he spoke concerning the coming of the Lord in first, I think that's the first Thessalonians chapter 4. And then when he told us how the Lord will come, verse 17 and verse 18.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Uh-huh.
And so shall we ever be with
verse
the Lord.
Verse 18 is my emphasis.
Wherefore,
therefore,
comfort one another with these
so
words.
So these words are the words of the scriptures,
amen and amen,
of this revelation, comfort us. It gives us hope. And it says, faith cometh by hearing. For without faith, it is impossible to please God.
That's right.
Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It gives you faith. So sometimes you hear us repeating and saying some things. When we are teaching the book of Daniel, 70 books, 70 weeks of Daniel, we taught it continuously. Almost every year we were taking it. Then one day, I took it again on a Sunday. And somebody who has been in the church, he said, "Daddy, for the first time, I now understood these 70 weeks of Daniel." I said, "So all this one we've been talking," he said, "he don't understand anything." So it encouraged me that we should be saying it.
Amen.
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 And we will continue to say it until we are sure everybody understands.
Amen.
Amen. If you already know it, you can switch off. But if you may not know, and some of you know, but you are stubborn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I love what a clip a brother sent to me earlier in the day. A preacher that was preaching, one very old man. And he said, the word of God, the scripture says it is a sword. It is like a hammer. He said, it is a quickener. And he's saying, that why are people not broken down? If the word of God is a hammer, it is because it is not the word of God that is used. If it is the word of God you preach, the word of God is a hammer. It will break them down. If it is a sword, it will pierce through. But the truth is, people preach anything else but the word. And the evidence is the result. So we that believe we are preaching the word, if we are sure it is the word, then we will hold it. If we preach, we use the sword and it didn't work on you, we'll come and readjust again and hold it very well. To make sure the thing hit you very well. If we hit you, you stand up. After service, we jam you for street. You see the weird trouser, it don't hit you well. Sister? And any of this nonsense. So we will continue to say it. Amen. Until that image of Christ that is our destiny is truly formed. Especially in these days where social media is more addictive than cocaine. Social media, Facebook, YouTube. Even they stop calling it Twitter, they call it X. You are finished. It's more addictive than drugs. Instagram. And we just don't want to be honest with ourselves. You know, Satan has succeeded in using that. If you wake up, how do I know I'm addicted to it? You wake up, and the first thing you wake up is to reach out your hand and pick your phone and look at it. That is evidence you're an addict. If you cannot, for the sake of doing something else spiritual, you cannot off your phone and keep it one side until you finish what you are doing. Amen. You are an addict. Let me tell you again how you will know you are an addict. Your phone lost. Jesus. You begin to run mad. Oh God. Oh God. I have seen people who are, you know, addicted to drug. They call it withdrawal syndrome. Withdrawal syndrome. I have seen it some years ago while I was an unbeliever. I had a relationship with a girl that I discovered she was into drug. I didn't know that she was taking drugs. She was so addicted, I didn't know. Till the day I found out. I brought her in the weekend. And I kept her in the house. I told the security at the gate, don't let this girl go out for any reason. She would try to tell any lie to jump out to where they would pick the thing. I would say, send the houseboy. Let me go and send this. She would go until the thing started eating her up. She was crying, you will pity this girl. You will pity her. She would cry. And she was remembering the boy that introduced her to her. She'll be cursing him. Say, God will punish you. Say, God will punish you. You are the one that sent me this. It is terrible when you see them crying with tears. Kept her the whole day. She couldn't sleep. She couldn't. She was crying until late in the night. I had to say, oh yeah, let me take you. Where do you normally buy it? And she went. I was still waiting in the car. She entered the place, took it, and came and said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The same thing you feel when they collect your phone from you. Hey, Facebook. Hey, I never. Oh, hey. This year, you will have power over social media in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know some people will say, what are you concerning? My phone, no be smartphone. Now that one, they take a rubber band, the tire. Now one, they punch like this. Amen. Because you never get money. It's evidence you don't get money. Nobody say you know one time. Wait till you have money. Amen. So every addiction in your life today, the Lord will kill it.
Amen.
The only thing we should be addicted to is to the things of the Spirit. Addicted to prayer. Addicted to studying the Word. Addicted to talking about the Word of God. That will be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Bride of Christ worldwide, one of the things I want us to be reminded is, I picked that this exhortation. In a few minutes, I hope I can. I want to nail some things down. I hope I can summarize it for somebody to just understand. In Revelation chapter 12, I love that statement in verse 11, but let's read it from verse 10 and verse 11.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
That my emphasis is the accuser of the brethren.
And they overcame him.
No, verse 10 again. Verse 10. The accuser, for the accuser.
For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
And I say it, what is he accusing you of? That's the title. What is he accusing you of? The accuser of the brethren. He's not lying, you know. If you will come before God, it means he's sure of what he's saying. And who is he accusing? The brethren. The brethren. People who are supposed to be children of God. Remember, his ministry is to destroy, to kill. That is his ministry, to steal. And this is relevant because the accuser of the brethren is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That is why we are having communion every evening in this empowerment week, to remind us. In Numbers chapter 35, I'm going to do a little long reading here just to get the picture. Let's read it from verse 9.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them.
Listen carefully, listen carefully. Don't be distracted. There are some people that they will be behaving as if they know. As much as, in fact, that's evident they don't know. When we are preaching, some people will be doing as if this is for them. You are above, you know, what is happening. And it's very easy to know them. Walk to them at later and say, what will be the topic of today? Listen very well. Don't be distracted, especially the workers. Listen very well. Don't be like Gehazi. Don't be like Gehazi. Gehazi, don't be like, don't be a child of God. You are not in this ministry by accident. You are not. Hallelujah. Don't be like Eliezer that has no part in the inheritance of the house of Abraham. All of us here, there is no slave. There is no houseboy, no house girl. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be very, very careful. And let me use this opportunity immediately that in Nigeria here, there is no dignity of labor. And it's a pity. It's not good. Anybody that is doing anything for a living, let it be dignified. Make sure it is dignified. The other day, somebody was, I think a minister was given administration, and I heard someone shouting when he said, you are this. Now, Okada Rada. I can never be Okada Rada. And I turned and I looked at him. And I said, what is wrong with Okada riding? And I told him, I said, let there be dignity of labor. That is his job. That is his means of livelihood. He's living in it by it. And God can bless him in it. God can bless your house boy, your house girl, in the job he's doing. It's a job. That's what is making a living. It's collecting your salary and taking care of his parents in the village. That 10,000 they give, they share it with him, Papa. So never we that see revelation, don't give revelation in such a way that you will say it and then make some other job look better than another. And then you make the person look dejected. No. Our people who live here and go abroad, do you know the kind of job they do there? So let's stop this. Whatever you are doing, do it very well in it. God will bless you. If you do it and serve God faithfully. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're talking about him accusing us. What is he accusing you of as believers now? And so let's read it. The instruction that was given to Moses. Numbers again. Let's read it, 35. From
and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
yes.
Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unaware.
Very interesting instruction, because it's applicable to us now. It is a type in the law. Go ahead.
And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, and of these cities which ye shall give six cities, shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death.
Hey.
Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he trust him of hatred, or all at him by laying of weight, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he trust him suddenly, without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his arm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to this judgment. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil.
Verse 26 now.
But if the slayer shall at any time come
out of that border of the city of his refuge,
whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute for the of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all
the Thank you. So the story is clear now. Because we make reference to it. Now here I am. Some of you have not taken time to read it. If you kill my mama, I will kill you. Life for life, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. But the mercy of God knows that somebody may kill without intending to kill. by mistake. So the mercy of God said, create 6 cities around where you are. If you by mistake kill someone, and there will be no peace until you two they kill you. What is he accusing you of? You killed my mama. You killed my papa. But the mercy of God, if you can run and cross the border to the city of refuge, you will remain there for the matter to be judged. And the congregation will come and judge the matter if they discover that you are not guilty. You killed it by mistake. They will deliver you up to remain in that city. You will not be killed. But they will tell you to remain in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest, that oil was poured in his head, not the political one. There is political high priest. If you read the history very well, that's what created the problem in AD 70. That's why they were fighting before Rome decided to come and quench the political tumult that was going on. Then they begin face Roman people to fight them. That's how they finished them, and they've been away till 1948. There's political high priest. Listen, you are to remain there until the death of the high priest. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. That is the Aaronic priesthood. That was the law. If during that period that you are to remain in the city of refuge, for any reason you step out of the border, if you step out of the border, the avenger of blood, if he finds you, he will kill you. And if they tell him, why did you kill him? He will accuse you. What will be the accuse? You step out of the city and I see a killer. Because you should have remained in the city. You know, there is a terminology we call some people borderline Christians. You know what they call them, borderline Christians? It's not because you cannot pray, you cannot fast. It is that you are very, very close to the world. You are in the border of the city of refuge. When you have come to Christ, be fully in Christ. Amen. Be fully in Christ. Amen. Christ himself said it, you cannot serve God and mammon. You are, until when people see you, they begin to ask, is he a Christian? Or, did they go to church? Borderline Christians. They have chameleon spirit. I think they have Holy Ghost. There's chameleon spirit. Different Holy Ghost, oh. There's another spirit, another Holy Ghost, another Jesus, another spirit, and the commonest spirit that we find in Laodicean Church age, this our age, is the chameleon spirit, and they think it is the Holy Ghost. The chameleon spirit adjusts to the environment. If a chameleon, if you enter here, it's a very interesting something. I have watched it live. I've watched it live. You know, it's walking and going in this floor now. And it senses danger. The color will change to the color of this tile. You begin to look for it. Where is it now? Where is it now? And if you crawl, enter green grass, you see movement there. You will not move. You just stay there and turn to the color of the green tree leaves. So you're going to go. You're not going to move until you come out. They go, waka again, go. It is chameleon. It adjusts to the weather. And that is how some Christians are. How do you know you have a chameleon spirit? Be very sincere. Because so that you pray that spirit very well. How do you know you have chameleon spirit? Anytime they are playing worldly music, you join them, they sing out. And when they say, "You are the Lord, let your name be," the spirit will change. "I give you glory. Yahoo, 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 Yahoo." Only you. Hallelujah. You are the borderline Christian. The border of mercy and destruction. The border of life and death. When he said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," transform is transfer. Jesus is our Passover. You are to move from death to life. Amen. And if you know the danger of where you are before, you will go into Christ deeper and deeper and deeper, further away from your lifestyle. Old lifestyle. Old lifestyle. And everybody knows how to escape danger. And so, one of the things that he accuses us is that we, as believers, we refuse to stay under the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Under the protection that God has given us. Our protection is in the blood. The power of the covenant. If you break the covenant, you are on your own. Anything happens to you, he said, break the edge of God's protection. He said, "What will happen? Serpent will strike. It will not be our portion this year in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. I have one or two examples. That of Jacob and Laban in Genesis chapter 31. You can read it on your own. If you read it from verse 17, read it up to verse 42. Because of time, let me summarize that story. We all know it. For 20 years, Jacob served Laban. Out of the 20 years, 14 of those years were for him to get those two wives, Rachel and Leah. And it's time for him to go. He fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled, he paid everything. He did all that he was supposed to do. And he was settled to go. Your master, you serve him, oh, and he has settled you to go. Go with what he said to you. Go with what he said to you. Go with what he said to you. Don't say it is too small, oh, our God can multiply it for you. You are not going to prosper because of what your master settled you with. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you see people who have testimonies, you know, a brother that testified yesterday, those of us who know him, we know the testimony deeper than the way he just said it. Not too many people know how to give testimony. What that brother went through, brother that came from Cameroon, the oga that he served in Cameroon was an Ogbonga. Occultic person. And he said that over 100 boys that served the man, he said over 50 were dead. When you finish, he said to you, "Palakpata, 1-2 years, you die." And he's been doing it. And everybody's afraid of him. Nobody can confront him. And hallelujah. And he was telling us, the brother was telling us, he said, "And you don't by mistake steal his money. He said, don't by mistake. So you can thief by mistake. Don't by mistake steal his money. So you are finished. He will warn you. But now he reached his throne. Amen. He was settled. And it was very valuable to him. He was very valuable to the man. And he's even related to him. And the battle began. Somehow the relations found this church late last year. He said he was in a dream when it was now his turn to die. The man came with a pistol in a dream, pistol, behind and hit him at the back, here, waist here. That's how he woke up from the dream. He could not walk again. That was the battle that was on. Or dying and going. Then the relation, they called me, they gave me his phone number. When I talk like this now, some people could send me a phone number now. My grandmama is dying, Pastor, this is his number. I'm giving you testimony. I didn't say if somebody is sick, send me his number. If he's sick, bring a comrade at Assembly Church. We have healing and deliverance minister. All of us together will deliver. Anyway, and that day, on the phone, I ministered to him. Some people were in my office then. And I ministered to him. Strength came upon him. He stood up.
Hallelujah.
But was still staggering. Until we went for the program in Cameroon. He said he believed that he is the reason why we came to Cameroon at that time. I remember very well, came to the crusade ground, you know, managing. That is the man that you see standing there. Amen. And praising God. After praying for him. Hallelujah. Amen. But his case was different. Why I remember it is when I was one, he said, don't steal your master's things, some of them, like Rachel. They were going, Laban's daughter, Rachel, Jacob's wife, his favorite wife for that matter.
That's right.
She took the father's idol. I was following Jacob. Jacob is in the lineage of Abraham, and they don't worship idols. Jacob worships the God of Abraham and Isaac. They don't worship idols. But the wife privately stole the idol to follow her husband to his place. And the father, Laban, in the night discovered that they don't carry one of his gods. My God, where you go thief come out from me? Is that a reliable God? Kai. And the Bible says he was now planning to run after. They had gone off for quite some distance after Jacob. But see the mercy of God. Because he knew Jacob was not guilty. And God came to him in the night, in the dream, to warn him. But even though God warned him, he still pursued him because his property is there. What is he accusing you of? That will disturb you, has been disturbing you. Your progress has been disturbed. You pray from mountain to mountain, fasting to fasting, pastor to pastor, prophet to prophet. Why is your own not going? Search yourself. There may be something. Rachel! When the man ran and met them on the way, Jacob has to tell him, why are you disturbing me? Began to tell his story. I serve you faithfully. I do this. I say, yes. I know. But why did you steal my God? And Jacob was shocked. He said, no. If you see it here, do anything you like. And the thief was there, Rachel. She took it, put it under her, and sat on it. As the man, they search. You want to come here and say, Daddy, I'm having period. That's what she said. Don't be me they talk about. That's what the way some of you they laugh. This is not me they talk about. That's why he talk. Oh. He said, at the 2 period, the man said, oh. And then he told Laban, told Jacob, if you know what I wanted to do to you, but your God he came and warned me in the night. Somebody here, hallelujah. The enemies have been troubling you. After today, God will warn them. I remember when they were disturbing us over this land. I said, Father, go and tell them across Ijesha and Alausa and wherever. Tell them who I am now. Tell them that we are not coming here to do business. Tell them I'm your son and they should keep away from me like you did Jacob. I was praying that regularly. Maybe he met them. Because all of a sudden, they leave us alone. Your enemies will leave you alone. Amen. I say your enemies will leave you alone. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, my emphasis is that if they did not carry something, a strange God, to follow them, the enemy will not have pursued them. Rachel! What are you sitting on? And clapping hand and worshiping God. What are you sitting on? Rachel! What did you carry along from your past life to this journey from earth to glory? Satan knows it is with you. Laban knew it's there, though I couldn't find it. And we all know how Rachel, because she used her messes to create problems. And she took in the course of delivering her child, that's why she died. That's right. It will not be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. But see, in Genesis chapter 35 from verse 1.
And God said,
another setting now. Listen now, another setting now. The same family, they are there.
And God said unto Jacob,
yes.
Arise. Go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household,
they are to come before God's presence. They are to move and create an altar and worship God. They are to appear before the Lord. Before they will take off, it's a far journey. The journey is not a small journey. It is a long journey. They will pass through certain cities before they will get there. What did Jacob? From this story, you know that what happened in the matter of Laban, it pained Jacob. What did he say?
Then Jacob said unto his household,
yes?
And to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among
you. Again.
Put away the strange gods that are among
you. Again.
Put away the strange gods that are among you.
And what?
And be clean and change your garments.
Why did he say put away the strange gods? Because that maybe Jacob found it later with Rachel. That's why that man pursued them, disturbed them, nearly killed him. And verse 3.
And let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress,
yes,
and was with me in the way which I went.
Uh-huh.
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods.
Oh, that means, see them? They have got plenty of them in the midst. Of course, you know where they are coming from. All the strange gods.
Which were in their hand.
Including what?
And all their earrings.
Including what?
Earrings.
Including what?
Earrings.
Including what?
Earrings.
Earrings. Rachel, where is your earring? You are sitting in the church here now. Satan know the cupboard where you keep them. When you are coming to church, you will remove it, put it inside your bag, and come and be like, you're a chameleon. Go ahead.
And they gave them all their earrings which were in their ears, And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem.
Uh-huh.
And they journeyed. And the terror of God...
When they dropped it, then they began their journey. What happened?
And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob.
They cannot pursue after the sons of Jacob again. Fear of one small family. They said the nations that they were passing were afraid of them. Because they knew God was with them. Because they said the fear of God. There was God, their God. They saw something about their God among them. The fear of them, they did not pursue after them. Because the accuser of the brethren had nothing to accuse them of. There are a lot of battles that we face in the house you live. Demon comes, stay with you, sleep with you, eat with you. There must be a link between you and those spirits. If we say we have turned our back to the world, let it completely, turn completely. Don't be a borderline Christian. Christian for how long? Somebody is still teaching you how to dress, brother. How to dress, sister. How to talk. How to relate with neighbors. You're a Christian for so many years. See the way you, the type of hair you make. See the kind of friends you keep. Your closest friends are unbelievers. Borderline Christian. Borderline Christian. See, when it is time, we know this chameleon spirit, when they are celebrating a celebration that they will have to invite their unbelievers. How can I invite you to a meeting of mine? Somebody say, nine senior brothers, they came with their drink by themselves. Nobody made by them. They say, lie, how can we come and celebrate your Pekin birthday? Then you say you will give us coke because they go to we are coming. How did you appear? You are in a border now. A borderline Christian. In fact, I'm not sure you know they go drink for their house. How can me and my own house at the organized party? Then you go carry alcohol. Say what thing happened. There's no other way of insulting my faith than that. And I will stand up there and disgrace you. Went for our brother's, what do you call it, traditional marriage of his daughter. Well, she's of age, so the only way to fulfill righteousness to collect bride price and release her. Then, all the worldly things they were doing. Now, brother sat there as the father. When they finished, it was his turn to talk, vote of thanks. He sat down. God bless all of you are welcome. He said, I want you people to know all these things that have been going on, I'm not part of it. And this child, I didn't bring her up like that. He made a disclaimer. Fast. He said, however, they will answer for themselves, they are of age. I will answer that I didn't bring them up that way. Before the hundreds of, the whole place was crowded. I was there. My wife was there. He said it openly, I am not part of what they are doing. He said, I am here because I must be here as the father. If not, I won't be here. So heaven and earth know, I don't get hand for his side. Your uncle. Why is your son dressing like this? It's their time. It's their time now. It's their time. And so he go pull gun on you one day after you don't chuck it, but it's their time. It's their time. Because you have not imbibed your faith into them. That's what we learn from there. That because they did not have anything for the accuser of the brethren to accuse them, They could not pursue after them. Hallelujah. They could not pursue after. I told you people, confidently, I said I was in a hotel in France, Paris. Went there for a program, and a demon was coming to attack me as I was lying down in the bed sleeping. I opened my eyes, and it was a human being. It was just good. Then he did like this. He stopped. As he sees, I open my eye, look up. I said, what is this? I look. No hotel idea. No, you bought land idea. No, be dream. And I open my mouth, I say, what are you doing here? Even now, you, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. No. What are you doing here? You see me lie down with woman for bed. You don't know what I can't here, I can't do. I can't raise money. I can't sell anything. Come on, get out of this place. No, I can't go. You, the accuser of the, what will you use as a reason to remain there and attack me? What are you sitting upon, Rachel? What are you sitting upon? I am a minister of God. I am anointed. I am digging. Hallelujah. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And he showed me Joshua the high priest.
A high priest.
Standing before the angel of the Lord.
As Satan also was doing what?
As Satan standing at his right hand.
At his right hand. Anything the Bible referred to as right hand is referring to your strength, your power. Symbolically referred to as your right hand to weaken you.
And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan.
Hey.
Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee.
Uh-huh.
Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?
Uh-huh.
Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments,
uh-huh,
and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair meter upon his head. So they set a fair meter upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by.
Now listen. Hallelujah. The story goes, a high priest has a cloth that is designed for him.
That's right.
By God himself.
Amen.
And it is not a tattered cloth. You carried a tattered cloth, not the cloth that is designed for you to wear. High priest. And you are standing. And the angel came to give him message. He could not give him. He saw a demon standing by his right hand to resist him, to resist the angel from blessing the high priest. To resist the angel from using him. And the angel rebuked the demon and quoted everything he could quote, the whole authority he has. The demon remained there, the looker. But the angel knew the principle for deliverance. He put look away from the angel and concentrated. Why is this demon not leaving the high priest? It was then he saw the cloth he wore. And he did not bother with the demon again. He now faced him and ordered that there should be a change of garment. And if you read it, when the change of garment, when it was changed, we did not see the angel again. The demon again.
That's right.
We did not see the demon again. We will have less deliverance, shouting and screaming, if we will live a life of righteousness. That's the truth. And that is why in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, that meaning,
behold, go ahead. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save.
Uh-huh.
Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear.
Mm-hmm.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
You see, The only reason why we have been praying for years, some of us, and the condition is not changing, is your iniquity. That which the enemy can accuse you of. Hey, listen, people who preach grace. Hey, Romans chapter 7 says that I want to do good. Evil is present. Therefore, if I do that which I don't want to do, then it is not I that I'm doing, that it is the sin that is in me that is doing it. Hey, therefore, me, oh, not be me the one. For me, I am delivered. The bad part is what they do, now they see something where they, now they do, and not be me. Hey, Satan is using that type of preacher to encourage you to remain under the dominion of Satan. They will not also quote, the life that I live now is no longer I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me. You are quoting the one that anytime you commit sin, it is sin nature that is doing. For this reason was the Son of Man manifest. He should destroy the work of the enemy. He that is of God, that is born of God, does not commit sin. The Bible says so. Why? Because the seed that got you born again remains in you. And what is that seed? The seed of the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. It is thus said the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So sometimes it's good for us to take a retreat. Why is my life like this? And the most stupid thing you can do to yourself is to justify your life. Instead of to be sincere, because it is during retreat you become sincere to yourself. You can pretend before man, but you can't pretend before yourself. Everybody knows who he is, who she is. You should be able to line up your life with what is expected of us as children of God. There are characters, not only strange gods, there are also strange characters that we must put away if we will walk with God. What are those strange characters? They include 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Yes.
That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived.
Don't deceive yourself. Be sincere with yourself so that you will know what to battle, which area of your life to face.
Neither
fornicators,
nor idolaters,
see them,
nor adulterers.
All this is strange in Christianity.
Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom
of God. Verse 11.
And such were some of you.
This is who we were before.
But ye are washed.
But now that we have come to Christ, the blood of Jesus has washed us.
But ye are sanctified.
We are sanctified.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God.
So that itself is a strange character. If you find yourself involved in any of these things, Christians don't gossip. Christians don't sow seed of discord among brethren. Christians have the Spirit of God in them, and God is love, and he that loveth is of God. And love even covereth a multitude of sin. And if you operate any gift and there is no love, there is no result in it. Love, if you love somebody, you will not want to hurt that person. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, loving God, hey, I want to drop another one. Amen. The evidence that you love God is not that you will be sweeping church. The evidence that you love God is not that you will be going for evangelism. The evidence that you love God is not that you will be sponsoring television. That you will be sponsoring diesel. that you love God is that you don't want to do anything that will displease him. Because you may be sponsoring television and you are still wicked to your house help at home. The evidence that you love God is that you will not be doing, you will not be doing, because why I say so is that we live a life of God, a fellowship with God by contract. The reason you are sweeping, Father, as I'm sweeping all the nyama nyama in your house, so sweep the nyama nyama in my life, Lord. Sweep the nyama nyama. Now prayer you do. Now prayer. That's no evidence you love God. You are doing spiritual work. Why are you doing that? I love God. It's a lie, yo. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture we are looking for the other day is verse 29, John chapter 8. John chapter 8.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Again.
The Father hath not left me alone.
We are reading John chapter 8, verse 29. Sheila, Justin.
And he that sent me is with me.
The Father has not left me alone. It means he's always with me. The reason is what?
For I do always those things that please him.
That's all. Of course, if you pay your tithe, it will please him. But if you are paying your tithe so that the heaven will open and your business will blow forth, you don't love him, it's by contract. You're a contractor. The motive for doing what you do is what God looks at. He will give you, because he promised it. He will give you. Amen. But that is not a relationship. That's a relationship. Hospital, get permanent residence. Doctor, get permanent friend. Nobody call doctor until you are sick. Then you tell doctor, say, that doctor is my friend. You go look which friend. And that's why when you talk, he go give you bill. Because once you go, you are healed, then you don't remember him with his address. That's how some people relate with God. They would do things only when they need something from God. The things that you're supposed to do, you will not do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. They are the ones that if they give, everybody must know, say they give. I said, brother, that if he give me anything, I know they use them. But immediately I put it on like this, he will tell everybody, see that resource, your pastor, they were, let me buy him for her. Let me give her. If it are, if it are. Everybody must know the shoe way they wear. I mean, if he give you cloth, you see that sister they sit down there, and my cloth, I mean, give her. Then everybody will say, Car is a giver. Car is a giver. The Bible says you have received your reward.
Right.
Don't expect anything more. Right. What is the purpose you are doing it now? I have only 5 minutes more. Amen. I'm anointed to talk. And I will talk. Until everybody change, I'll continue to talk. Because they see very well, and they see very well. Because now for this same place here, some few days ago, one sister, they fight together with coordinator for here, for inside church. Because sit down here. Why should I sit down here? Now here, I want to sit down. Who are you to talk to me like that? For church. Church. When you are a Christian, the only reason why you get offended when people relate with you in a certain way is because of pride. You have arrogated to yourself some status. But anybody that comes to Christ and humble himself, There is nothing anybody does that offends you easily. Somebody is at post of duty. You enter church. They say, park your car here. Don't you know me? Don't talk to me like that. Oga, park your car here. Don't you know where I normally park? May God help all of us. Amen. I said, may God help all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you may justify. Talk to me anyhow. The coordinator spoke to me anyhow. I have a brother at Ikoyi. Small time, you know, great house boy. Within 1 month, he could drive and come out. Another one come, he could drive and come out. Another one come, he said, these people will get me mad. Drive and come. Then one day the wife tell and say, hey, honey, hey. Now God, they send those people to come work with you. Because if they claim, say, you be spiritual. You are spiritual. He says, it's to test your patience. He tell him, the wife, he told me this himself. He said he broke down. Now true. I don't get patient. When they do, come again, get up. Now women, they do that in pass. They can't tolerate house help. Some now, 1 month maximum. After 1 month, they go. You can't keep domestic staff for so long because you have no patience. And Satan knows how to get every one of us. He knows our weaknesses. But God also knows our weaknesses. If we submit ourselves to him, he will do a work of regeneration and regenerate us and recreate and convert. That is the purpose of the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read one more strange character in Leviticus chapter 19 from verse 27.
Ye shall not round the corners of your heads.
Again.
Ye shall not round the corners
of your heads. He told Israel there that you should not do what? You know, round. It's the commonest thing. They will scrape everything here and leave one smart thing here like this. I saw even preachers, they do it. They will carry a razor blade and design their beards. Design. Do, leave one like he goes like this here. Then do, you know. What did he say?
Neither shall thou mar the corners of thy bed.
This IT people self.
Ye shall not round the corners of your head.
Uh-huh.
Neither shall thou mar the corners of thy bed.
Uh-huh.
Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am
you
the Lord.
You are not to make a tattoo. That's the scripture against tattoo. Everywhere in your body. That was, they were doing that to Molech, the god of the Philistines, the Amorites, and all those Gentile nations. They passed there, they see it, they said, don't do like them. We are from a different nation.
Amen.
And these things are strange among us. Amen. Now, I'm not condemning you that already have it before you know the truth, but don't do it again. And if it's possible to remove it, you can remove it. Because I know my brother in Netherlands, Holland, all over your body from here to here, all night. When you wear t-shirt like this, you know, and you will soon be coming to Nigeria because of your testimony. You want to come and do Thanksgiving in Nigeria. You know, when you are coming, please wear. I know you're hearing me now. I know you're hearing me now. And always be quick to explain to believers that, see, I did this one when my hair colour, when I was in the world. Stop it, and God understands. But you that know the truth, don't go that way. Read on again.
Verse 29.
Yes.
Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore.
Hey.
Lest the land fall to Adam.
Now, what did he say? Do not do what?
Prostitute thy daughter.
To do what?
To cause her to be
How
a
will you prostitute your daughter? The dress that you give your daughter to wear can determine whether you want her to look descent, or you want men to come after her. Because the Bible speaks of the attire of a harlot. Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 7, verse 6.
For at the window of my house, I look through
it's
my
It's describing
casement,
prostitute.
And beheld among the simple ones, I descend among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near a corner, and he went the way to our house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire
of an harlot and subtle of a heart. You remember the story of Tamar and the Judah? When Judah did not fulfill his vow, what did Tamar do? Genesis 38. Read the story from verse 7.
And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord.
That was the story. That's what happened.
And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Then said Judah to Tamar his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house, till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Ira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law went up to Timnath.
Judah is going to pass this way. He's going to do condolence. He's going to pass this way. He has not kept his promise. Shelah, don't grow. You don't bring her. Make you come marry him again as he promised.
And she put her widow's garment off from her.
She removed the widow's garment from her.
And covered her with a veil. And wrapped herself. And sat in an open place. Which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown. And she was not given unto him to wife.
Yes.
When Judah saw her.
Because she disguised herself.
He thought her to be an harlot.
Why?
Because she had covered her face.
There was a particular way prostitutes dress. Judah saw her, didn't know that she disguised herself. To prostitute your daughter is to make your children dress like prostitutes. When you do that, God will judge your child and judge you also. That's the truth. So this year, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, it's a commandment. You have to, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
The identity throughout this year, that's the breastplate. Everybody sees it. Your signboard. Your identity should be that of righteousness. And if you want God to walk with you, he said, without holiness, no man will see God. No matter how you sing, oh, Christ, a solid rock, I stand. Sometimes you think it's a rock, you are standing, you don't know it's not sand. The rock don't come out, leave you for sand. I need you every hour. I need you. You need him, but he cannot come because of your condition. He cannot behold unholiness. And you know the dirty life you live. And you know the things that defile you. We all know. As long as we're in this flesh, we are fighting one thing or the other. But we must mature. We are overcomers. You overcome which, but you don't overcome your flesh. You have not overcome anything yet. Job 29, you know, he was mentioning all his virtues. When he came to verse 14, he said something.
I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe.
He said his lifestyle was what? He put on what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. And righteousness was his cloth. So that he can also speak like the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He said, the prince of this world coming, but he find nothing in me. He can't accuse me of anything. Apostle Paul said he exercised himself always to have a conscience
void of offense
before God and man. If he meet you, he will tell you, what have I done wrong? I've not stolen your money. I have not overcharged you. You didn't send me to go and buy piano, and I added 100,000 naira. And as you give me, that's why I buy them. If I added my money on top, Satan can never use it against my prayer. All of you that work under Oga, be honest. The temptations are sometimes too high. And Satan will push you, and you will pay for it because there is a consequence of sin. That may be the reason some of us, our prayers have been hindered. Because that demon stood before a high priest. An angel could not do that deliverance until there was a change of garment. And the demon could not wait for the angel to look at him. He found his way. That will be our lifestyle this year. Can we stand up? Thou who knowest all my weakness. Thou who knowest all my cares. Tell you. Amen. Let's go to the last table, line by line.
Where's all my cares? Just run.